Good morning, guys. I'm glad you're in the clapping mood because I'm actually going to ask you to give yourselves a round of applause. You've done it. You have made it to December. That is no small feat this year. I'm serious. I think 2020 is an easy target to poke fun at. It's a very easy punching bag, but I'm not kidding when I say, man, I am so happy that we are almost done with this year. 2021, baby, I'm ready. Like, I'm so ready to just skip past this month. But the thing is, it's Christmas time. Many, myself included, say it is the greatest time of the year. But often, and this is true for me too, it speaks some stress into our hearts and minds, right? It is about shopping and things needing to get done, but they're not getting done. And it's about family and travel, and this year, COVID-19. But the thing is, it's often stressful. We hype up Christmas as this time of year that is just perfect and joyous and nothing goes wrong, when in reality, it is, for people like me at least, probably the most stressful time of the year. Well, often it just doesn't work out the way that we want it to. And that really stresses me out. You know, every single year I'm thinking, Christmas is supposed to be this time of joy, right? Joy, what a weird word. What even is joy? All I know is that Christmas is supposed to be about joy. Do you guys have things that stress you out around the holidays? Like specific things? I know we all do. You guys know that one family member? Yeah, that one. You know, it's like every time the holidays roll around and all the extended family's coming around and there's just that one family member. Whew. Yeah. If you don't know what I'm talking about, do we tell them? I'm just kidding. I'm sure your family loves spending time with you. Had to work that joke in. But anyways, let me get back on topic. Christmas is supposed to be this time of joy. Yet, for many, it is not. I'm sure some of you have had some rotten Decembers. And I'm sure many of you are expecting this December to be rotten. Honestly, this time around, I would not blame you at all. Like I said, 2020 is a very easy punching bag. But the thing is, it doesn't have to be. It really doesn't. The good news of Christmas, the true news of Christmas, is not all the bad news. It's not about family stress. It's not about things not getting done or shopping or COVID. The true news of Christmas is the good news, and his name is Jesus Christ. Yeah? Amen? Can I get an amen? Yes. So, this month, we're going to be talking about things that we can do to make this December more meaningful than ever before. But Nathan, how do we do that when there's just so much bad news, especially this year? How do we make this Christmas worthwhile? I have a simple answer for you. I think it is simple, and I'm going to explain why. It is sharing the good news, right? This is something that is often overlooked. See, sometimes sharing the good news pushes us out of our comfort zones. I know for me sometimes I feel a bit pushy, like personality-wise. I feel like I'm always the one poking the bear and pushing people, and I don't like to do that. I don't like pushing people to do something that they don't want to do or hear something that they don't want to hear. But often, because I try to course correct, I find myself missing the opportunity to share the gospel with people at this time of year. Does that make any sense? But it is so important to share the good news. If you don't, you're missing what is really the true meaning of Christmas. You miss this joy. Look what happened at the first Christmas. Luke 2:10 and 2:17. Luke 2:10. An angel said to them, The shepherds that were out in the field, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. So the shepherds went and checked this out and saw the baby Jesus in Bethlehem. After that happened, Luke 2:17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. That's it. It's really simple. They were told the good news. They went and checked it out themselves. They told other people. That is what Christmas is all about. It's one of the joys of Christmas, is telling the good news. You know, most people want to share good news. Who wouldn't want to share good news? I've had instances where someone will tell me good news about maybe my own life or something with school or work or whatever, and they're like, but it's not official yet, so don't tell anybody. And I'm like, why did you tell me that? Because now I'm just bursting at the seams. I want to tell people this good news that has happened to me. I'm sure you guys can relate to something like that. You know, like, why wouldn't someone want to share good news? So what then is getting in the way? Are we getting in the way? How do we get out of the way? Well, I think I'm going to try and unpack that and piece it together today. So bear with me. We're going to dive in. So first off, if I want to tell the good news, I have to enjoy it myself. You have to. You must. I'm not going to tell good news to somebody unless I enjoy it myself. Look back at what the angel said to the shepherds on the first Christmas. I bring you good news of great joy. That begs the question, how does good news become great joy? It's a good question. It actually has a simple answer. I like simple things, simple answers, easy to understand. See, good news becomes great joy when it becomes personal. Yes, I will give you a little example of this, a parable, if you will, as Jesus often did. Let's say Chip comes to me this past week, and he's like, Nathan, I have won $1 million. Wow, congratulations, Chip, $1 million. That is good news. Better write that tithe check. But, if I find out from Chip that I have won $1 million, great joy, all right? I'd be writing that check with a big old smile on my face. Do you see what the difference is? One is personal. Christmas is personal. When you realize that Jesus came for you personally, and you, and you, and you. He came for you personally. That is when good news becomes great joy. Jesus has come to tell you, I love you. I have a plan for your life, a plan for your future. I've come to have a relationship with you. That is great joy, and it is worth sharing. You see, Christmas is about great joy. The great joy in my life is that Jesus Christ has forgiven me of all the wrong things that I've ever done and all of the wrong things I will probably do well into the future. I didn't deserve that. I really didn't. I'm a very flawed individual. As we often think of ourselves, you know, we know the mistakes that we make probably better than anybody else, except for God. But the thing is, I didn't deserve this gift. I didn't earn it in any way. It is freely given. In fact, there's nothing you could do to earn it. We will touch on that later, though. This gives me hope. And it's not just hope to push me through this world, but it goes all the way out into eternity. This hope is eternal. That's the good news for us that have this relationship with Jesus. It's great joy for those of us who've become followers of Christ. It means we can have a relationship with God right now. No strings attached. We get to talk to him through prayer. He gets to guide us in our day-to-day lives through his word, through this church. God sent his spirit into our lives to direct us and help us when we need him, which is always, and even when we don't feel him or when we don't feel like we need him. That's good news. It is really, really good news. It's good news worth enjoying, and it is good news worth sharing. Psalm 107:2 says this: "All of you set free by God, tell the good news." Do you see the two-step there? One, step one, I've been set free by God. I realize that. Step two, because of that, I then tell the good news. Simple, the 1-2 punch of sharing the gospel, I suppose. If you're going to tell the good news to others, you have to be experiencing it. You have to be enjoying it for yourself. If you enjoy it, it's because you first accepted it into your life. And if you haven't done that yet, you're going to get the opportunity to do that today. Accept the gift of God's good news, his forgiveness, his love, his kindness. It's a relationship with him. How do you do that? You just say a prayer. God, I accept your gift. I trust you for that gift. You know, at the end of each of our services, we give this opportunity to start a relationship with Jesus if you don't already have one or if you want to recommit to one. So stay tuned for that because it's coming. There's going to be people at our next step corner in the back that really want to talk to you about Jesus, and they're going to try and answer your questions. You see, the only way I have found to enjoy the good news is on a day-to-day basis. You accept it one time. There is one moment where Jesus comes into your life. You have to choose to enjoy it every single day after that. You have to. There's so much bad news out there, you have to make a choice to focus on Jesus every single day. I cannot stress this enough. 2020 has taught me this myself in my own life. There were some days I would wake up and, oh man, I just wanted to go right back to bed. I'm sure you guys can relate to that. I'd be shocked if you didn't, honestly. It is a daily choice. And it's not an easy one some days. Some days it is easier than others. Anybody have bad news in your life? In the year of our Lord 2020, has anyone had bad news? Yeah, every hand should be raised. If not, I would happily trade places. But the thing is, you have to focus on the good news. And it is a choice that you have to make. Am I going to focus on the good news, or am I going to focus on the bad news? You see, I am very aware that many of you may be facing bad news this Christmas. Could be very bad news, tragic news, life-altering news. What do? Do you pretend it's not there? No, I don't think you do. I don't think that's the answer. You let the good news overwhelm the bad news. Because get this, the good news, Jesus Christ, is so much better than the worst of the good news. Does that make sense? I need a whiteboard, do a little math problem to show you guys this. If you have, you were like zero on a line chart, you have like 10 one direction and negative one. The 10 is 10 times that of the negative one, just in the opposite direction. Jesus is infinity in one direction. And then your bad news piles up going the other way. He is better than the worst news you will ever receive. So you don't ignore the bad news. You just don't let it be what drives your life. Whatever bad news you're facing, this good news is better. So you let the good news take the high ground over the bad news, because this good news has conquered even death. Yeah. See, I can only find joy in the reality of what Christmas is all about. Psalm 107:22. With joy they should tell what he has done. Who in the world wants to hear good news from a joyless person? Does that make any sense? I want someone to have joy written all over their face, a little twinkle in their eye, for a little, the little sprinkle on top, you know. I came up with this analogy for it last night, talking about football with my dad, actually. He is a Penn State fan. He went to Penn State. And I go to Ohio State, so a little household rivalry. So if I hear news about the Buckeyes, like, man, this Buckeyes got a great recruit for this season, or, man, they really did something great, you know. But if it's coming from someone who's not a Buckeye fan, where's the joy? He doesn't seem too happy about it. Not to put you on the spot, Dad. Go Nittany Lions. But does that make sense? Like, I want someone to be super excited when they tell me something that is good. That joy should be evident in the way they talk, the way they walk. I mean, it should be written on their face. The mask can complicate that at times. But you get the idea. With joy, you tell what he has done because you are experiencing it yourself. Does that make sense? Tell it with joy because it's God's good news for you. You are experiencing it yourself. That is where you start. You have to enjoy it yourself. Finally, if I want to share the good news, I must trust God. I have to trust him with it. You trust God because it is his good news. It is not my good news to share with you today. It is his good news. Let's admit it. Sometimes it can be frustrating sharing the good news with people. Maybe they're not really receiving it, or you're putting pressure on yourself, or there's some awkward in the conversation and it's just not going the direction you want it to. Maybe it feels a little uncomfortable, and then you get frustrated and then you give up. I've experienced it. I'm sure a lot of you guys have too. You know, many of my close friends don't know Jesus, and I feel that urgency to share him with them. Yet I find myself getting frustrated when I don't see any instant change. Is that relatable to anybody? It is frustrating. But let me remind you, when someone first shared the good news with you, was it an instant change? I'm not saying that it couldn't be, because that happens sometimes. But more than likely, what probably happened was it took some thinking. You had questions. Took time. You ever heard the phrase planting a seed? Is you gotta water that seed. You can't just plant it and boom, a flower. And that's just the nature of the good news. Don't get frustrated Just trust God. See, Romans 8:25 says, if we must keep trusting God for something that hasn't happened yet, it teaches us to wait patiently and confidently. So don't give up. Wait patiently and confidently. Keep trusting and keep telling. Remember what is my part and what is God's part. See, my part is to tell others. This is your part too, by the way. Our part is to tell others. Don't make me do this alone. Notice I said tell others and not sell to others. God didn't call you to be a salesman. I don't like when salesmen come to my door. I need to get one of those little no soliciting door hangers or whatever, a little sign for the yard. I don't like it because immediately what is going through my head is this person is spinning this. There's like some bias for me to buy a product. So I'm automatically not getting like the legitimate review of like what this is, because their goal is to sell you something. Once it's sold, hands off. So I'm not big into something being sold to me. But God never called you to be a salesman. You're not a salesman. You're a satisfied customer. Yeah, write that. If you write that down, if you're taking notes, you just tell what God has done in your own life. Like an Amazon review. It's a crude example, but I think you get the idea. That's our part. God's part is to change the lives. You know, only God can do that. I don't change lives. Chip doesn't change lives. Pastor Dave doesn't change lives. We cannot change lives. I often have seen people put this pressure on themselves, and I am guilty of it myself. Waking up and thinking to myself, I'm going to change someone's life today. Who gave me the audacity to think that I am capable of changing someone's life? You know what I mean? That is not on us to do. That is God's part. You leave the changing lives part up to God. Because if you put that pressure on yourself, two things are going to happen. One, you're going to be anxious and feel pressure yourself when you're talking about it with whomever you're discussing it with. And two, they're going to feel this pressure because you're this whole bundle of pressure and emotions ready to explode at any moment. And that could actually do the opposite of what you're wanting. That could drive them away from whatever you're trying to say. Don't put pressure on yourself. You tell and you leave it up to God to do the rest. In closing, God does the heavy lifting. I can promise you that. I have seen God dramatically change the lives of people that I knew 5, 7, 10 years ago that I thought would not and could not ever become Christians. And I have seen those people transformed into role models for my own faith walk. I'm serious. Numerous examples. I never thought some people would turn to Christ, and yet he does the heavy lifting. Only he can do that. I couldn't do that. You guys couldn't do that. There's a reason why 2,000 years after Jesus, we are still talking about Jesus. He has changed 2,000 years worth of lives. He's gotten us to here. He does the work. He's the one changing hearts and minds. He changed my heart and my mind. And that, my friends, is good news worth sharing. We're going to pray. Father, thank you so much for this good news. Thank you for sending your Son to us. And just give us the courage and the wisdom to share this good news with others this Christmas. Thank you for all that you've done for us. And I pray that you continue to move in our lives and in our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.